Derek, I don't know how I feel about all of these Saturday mornings you and I are having to spend together, but damn it, it's fun to have a lot of Canes games.
It is strange because, you know, it's Friday night. I rode to the game with you, so we saw each other, what, 12-ish hours ago? And then yeah. I'm here first thing in the morning. It's like, I can't quit you, Mike.
I know. I can't quit you either. Thanks for not quitting the Cheaters Ever Win podcast, everybody. Thanks for joining us here. Action-packed episode that's kind of come together at the last minute. Couple of great guests.
Hell yeah.
Dan Saracini from Lighthouse Hockey. You may know him better. He is at Culture of Losing over on the Twitter to talk kind of the Metropolitan Division tilts that's coming on and everything going on the island.
I think they have right now 17 players who have 50 points. My math could be off.
Slight, yeah. It's like right there, maybe.
They just have a lot of top six talent.
They also have, you know, no bottom six talent.
Well, we know about that.
Yeah. Popping on the podcast for the first time, Matt Soma from Calm Before the Storm, one of the other good Canes blogs that are out there, trying to contribute to this. He also runs Canes Prospects. And
he's a full-time college student. Like, I don't know how he does all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. He's way busier than he probably should
be. Are there two of him?
I think.
Has he mastered omnipresence?
You know, he might have that little thing that Hermione had. I'm going way above your head, and that's the reason I made that reference right there.
I was just
going
to say Weatherbrad, because Weatherbrad is also omnipresent.
Yes. Yes, he is. F. Mirrored Kills are coming in cheat mail. We've got beer reviews. Well, I've already tasted the beer. It's delicious.
Oh, God, this is a good one. You are going to want to listen to this.
Yeah. So listen to the podcast. We're going to try to keep this one a little bit shorter because we know everybody's got an Avs game to go to tonight. Back-to-back, all sorts of crazy games going on still this week as we finish out this 8-game homestand, hopefully with a lot more points. The good news is we are not in last place in the Metropolitan Division.
Woohoo!
And we are, what, 5 points out of second?
Oh, in the division, yeah. Sorry, I'm just paying attention to the wild card.
Yeah. So lots of fun stuff coming on. Action-packed episode today. Thanks for joining us. Derek.
Yes, Mike.
X button.
Okay.
Bitch.
Wow. Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And Derek, I did want to point out, I'm sure everybody in Caniac Land has heard this, but if you missed out, Spawn of Mentor, our Mr. Voice, also the voice of the PNC Arena, was on the WizKids edition of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire this week, walked away with 20 large.
And as Wade Mentor himself has, I think he tweeted, he may have put it on Facebook, but there is a Whalers fan site or something, or maybe a newspaper from the Hartford area, and it has their message boards. And there is the most tinfoilist hat guy ever who thinks her being on the WizKids because she is the announcer's daughter is all part of a conspiracy that shows the Whalers are coming back. You know, she did wear a green shirt on there.
I know. It
Holy
happened.
Crap.
Also wore red.
Yeah, so it was red, then green.
Yeah. I mean,
come on.
Yeah. Things happen. Crazy. But no, congratulations to the mentors. Derek, you mentioned Hartford. Let's go ahead and start there, shall we?
Oh, God. I'm so sorry that I mentioned Hartford.
It's been an interesting week. The governor of Connecticut wrote a letter to Tom Dundon thanking him and offering up the usage of one of their arenas to play a regular season game, but also potentially to have an outdoor game at the University of Connecticut's football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, I'm going to turn on the light.
Okay,
for those of you who don't see it in here, we have a giant neon hot takes now. Derek.
It's impressive.
I'd like your hot take on this.
God. I mean, just shut up. Not you, but just Hartford people. Just stop. Like, okay, Dundon's thrown in a bone. He's doing the nostalgia play. We like dancing to Brass Bonanza in the stands. Yes, the Whale gear, including jerseys, are on sale at the Eye. But we're not coming back. This is an easy way to generate some fan interest, makes him scratch, but it ain't happening. You just look sad. Even worse, you look desperate and awfully thirsty. Stop it, Hartford. Stop it.
You know who looks even thirstier? Hartford politicians who are pandering, out and out, pandering to people when they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are not going to pony up the money to build an NHL quality arena. And they're just trying to just play off the feelings of people who have been holding on to their ex for 20 years now. Guess what? She's not coming back. Move on with your life.
Yes.
Become a Devils fan. Become an Islanders fan. Become a Bruins fan. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You like that? You like that, Hartford? You know what? Get off our team. You want to be part of Hurricanes fandom, and you want to be part of what's being nice? Stop being such pricks and assholes.
Wow.
Every time we mention anything about the Whale, it is one team. If you're not happy with it, mute us. Get the hell on with your life. But you know what? I'm done being nice to you. If you're one of those Hartford assholes, you're getting blocked, you're getting run, and you know what? I'm done.
Well, there you go. We did have to hit a couple Hartford people with that block yesterday.
Hit them with some of that bang, bang, and they're like, oh, how masculine must it be to be a social justice warrior and a Hurricanes fan? Guess what, bitch? I like social justice and I like the Hurricanes. Now get off my lawn.
How'd that feel, Mike?
I felt so good. It's Saturday morning. I got up. I got my workout in this morning.
So is the microphone your version of a squatty potty? I'll hang up and listen.
For those who may not know, this podcast not sponsored by Squatty Potty, but Derek used the Squatty Potty earlier.
we're not talking about this on the podcast,
and it was delightful. Correct? Yeah. Shh, it's okay. Also, this podcast not sponsored by, but part of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network.
those are the sounds this morning. I didn't want to go with delight. I got to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mike, you talked about yesterday how we had to hit some people with a block.
Right.
And there were a lot of people who probably got hit with some blocks yesterday, because yesterday was Hurricanes You Can Play night.
It was. And it was phenomenal.
It was great. I don't want to get into the fact that, I believe that the team could have done more to market this more in advance. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. There have been a few changes around there, and maybe it just didn't get the attention that it needed internally. But I'm glad it was a great night. I'm glad that some local LGBTQ groups got some shine on the concourse to set up and let people hear about, like, hey, it's hockey. Like, I don't understand not wanting to bring as many people into this awesome event as possible. But you know, the Hurricanes, in support, they changed their logo temporarily to a rainbowed Hurricanes logo, and that drove people nuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts. And while some complained, and I'm disappointed that the News and Observer gave the people who were hating on this more credit, there were plenty of people on the Canes Facebook page. Mike, never read the comments. We can get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But there were plenty of really reasonable, good people who are saying, yeah, this is great. I don't see what the issue is. And I think that's really what it should be. But it was a great night. I was rocking my Rainbow Hurricane shirt from last year. It's just good. I would like to see more of these.
You know what? I think, and this was kind of the kickoff of Hockey is for Everyone Month, which is a league-wide initiative to not only support everybody's enjoyment of the sport of hockey on and off the ice. Last night just happened to be You Can Play night. You Can Play night. You Can Play team. At You Can Play team over on Twitter is part of the legacy of Brendan Burke, who was the team manager of the Miami University hockey club, came out as gay. Brian Burke's son tragically died in a car accident, and this was kind of their effort to put forth in honor to support something that he was very passionate about. So that was last night, but we've got a lot of other things coming. I know there's a girls' hockey night coming. There is a sled hockey night coming. So all sorts of cool things that are coming. But what was disappointing yesterday were the amount of people who came out of the woodwork to denounce something that was ultimately meant to bring something together. We're not going to go run through everything. I think I put my thoughts over on the blog, section 328. You can see it over there. A little bit of editorial on You Can Play Night. But I appreciate what the Canes did, and I have ultimate respect for everybody who came out and all of the great words that were said about being supportive. Because while we may bitch and moan a lot on this podcast and in the arena and sometimes wail for 5 minutes because just we have to get the feelings out.
Right.
We really appreciate the fact that the Hurricanes and specifically Trevor Van Riemsdyk tried to become the voice of all of this. So we won. That was what was important.
It was as
important as social justice is. We needed that win last night.
One slightly more important than the other in the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme, but last night in the third period,
as sports fans, getting back to what we do,
yes,
stick to sports, Mike. This is the second straight year that we have won a game with a goalie that desperately needed a win. I think last year was against Vancouver too, wasn't it?
I don't recall if last year was against Vancouver, but I do remember last year was OCS night. So that
explains City, why the on-ice product got a little bit secondary.
The Oak City guys were with us last year. I think I may be spilling the beans. Oak City's coming back to Section 328 February 23rd against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they're rolling 50 deep. If you want to be part of the loudest, most raucous night in PNC of the year, it is OCS night with the Red Eye Rowdies. That's kind of, they've got a new spinoff that's trying to figure out how they bring more soccer-style chants and stuff to the arena, and we love those guys as well, but the OCS boys are coming back on the 23rd. It's going to be loud. It's going to be a full building. There's going to be a bunch of black and gold in the building who's hopefully going to leave really sad because we're going to be rolling 50 deep singing all night long.
I think you talked about that longer than it took for Brett Pesce to score last night.
Yes, that I actually did, because it took Brett Pesce 14 seconds to score last night. This team plays so well from the lead, Derek.
They should do that more often. Yeah. I'm no coaching mastermind. I think this team should try to get a lead early and hold on to that lead. Mike, your thoughts?
I think you and Bill Peters are probably in agreement that starting on time is important. Getting a good quick start, being focused, hitting the ice with energy, cliche, Connecticut.
We got... I'm just here for the water, Mike.
Yeah, I know. But it was good to see. Little bit of a shakeup also this week. Josh Joris and Kruger both sent down to Charlotte. We thought there would be an accompanying move. Our very own Pat Clark told us there will be no moves until Sunday because these guys have to practice. There's no chance to practice Friday or Saturday. So without those guys being able to practice, they're not going to be able to play. So we're fully expecting no moves to be made today before the Avalanche game. But maybe after tonight's game, we'll see one, if not two, call-ups to fill those additional roster spots we have available with the big club.
Question for you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Who of the checkers is most likely to pull a Boychuk and break his own call-up news on Twitter?
I don't know. I don't know of any of those guys who are really... I mean, Trevor Carrick's a good follow, but Trevor's not coming up because he's a defenseman. I mean, I don't see, like, McLovin and Zikov and you know, Nicolas Waugh tweeting a lot.
The idea of Zikov doing that really cracks me up.
I am coming. I call up. I break you.
Zikov here.
Zikov out. But no, yeah, really exciting to what's happened. Avs are coming up tonight. We've got the Islanders coming up this week. Another big week in the Metropolitan Division standings. So before we get to the Islanders game, before we get to the Avs game, because I know we're going to talk a little bit about that probably during cheat mail, let's go to our first guess. Derek, big week in the Metropolitan Division standings coming up, and we had to go up to the island to get one of our friends who might possibly have one of my favorite Twitter handles. He is at Culture of Losing. Dan Saraceni joining us. Dan, how are things on the island, sir?
They're pretty exciting after last night. I guess they didn't look too great for the first two periods, but after the game was over, things looked a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the Score mobile app, and I was like, it's gonna be a good night for the Hurricanes. It's gonna be a good night for the Hurricanes. What the hell happened? So Dan, for those of us who were watching the Carolina Hurricanes take on the Vancouver Canucks last night, explain to us how you went from being three goals down to being in the lead in less than 5 minutes.
Well, it's funny because you guys weren't watching the game, and frankly, neither was I, because I was on my way home from work, and by the time I got home, it was 3-0 Red Wings, and I said to myself, I've seen this movie before. The Islanders go down early, they'll mount a comeback, they might even tie the game, but ultimately they'll probably just lose it in the end. And that was after the first. The second, it was 3-1 Red Wings, didn't seem like much was going on, and then halfway through the third period, it was 5-2 Red Wings. And I was like, yeah, I think this is pretty much over. But what happened was Tyler Bertuzzi slashed Cal Clutterbuck. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Cal didn't embellish that call a little bit, but he did.
Let's talk about said slash a little bit, shall we? I watched the replay of that slash this morning. And there were soccer guys who were kind of looked at Clutterbuck's delay in falling down and were just like,
oh my,
really?
Yeah, I was going to. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, you know, there's a bit of a delay between the time. He does get slashed. I mean,
absolutely.
He doesn't get slashed, but there's a bit of a delay between the time the slash happens and the time Cal goes down on his knees. And it ended up, it ended up being a 5-minute major, and Bertuzzi got the gate. And in that 5-minute power play, the Islanders scored 4 goals, which is something they have never done. And when you think about the teams, the players that have played for this team, that's pretty remarkable that they've never scored 4 power play goals in the same 5-minute major. But before you knew it, the game was tied. And then the Islanders took a lead. Josh Bailey made it 6-5 on an amazing feed from John Tavares. And Bailey just hammered it home. And it was pretty incredible. But then, of course, the Islanders are still the Islanders. And with 30 seconds left, Mike Green tied the game for the Red Wings. And it was overtime. And again, I have not watched any of this at this point. I'm just following it on Twitter like everybody else. And about halfway through the overtime period, Matthew Barzal. Oh, I should mention too that Thomas Greiss started the game. And after Detroit made it 5-2, he got pulled. Yaro Halak came in, who had played the night before in Buffalo, where the Islanders inexplicably lost to the Sabres. So Halak is in goal, and he made a couple of good saves in overtime. And then Matthew Barzal broke out on a 2-on-1 with Brock Nelson, and Nelson had already had 2 goals in the game, and Barzal already had 4 assists, and they won it, and Nelson ends up with the hat trick, and Barzal ends up with his 3rd 5-point game of the year, which is amazing for a rookie. I mean, he's on lists now with people like Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Peter Forsberg, Pat LaFontaine, like Hall of Fame players, and the dude is 20 years old. So, I mean, that's the best I can do to explain. I eventually did watch the replay, but I still can't explain what just happened. It was pretty crazy.
That's nuts. I mean, the 4 goals on a 5-minute power play, we still have nightmares, memories of a game here when the Islanders came to town and you guys scored 2 shorthanded goals on the same penalty kill.
Yeah.
That was a really fun day, and I still hate Richard Park because of that. But you talk Barzal, and he's putting up some really good numbers. Anders Lee's putting up some really good numbers. Josh Bailey's doing the same thing. How much of it is those guys individually? How much of it is John Tavares being so damn good at hockey? And he truly does make everyone else around him better.
Well, that's true. I wouldn't specifically say it's Tavares doing it. I mean, but he's a part of it. And I think that the top 6 on the Islanders kind of work as a unit. And if you remove one guy, the whole thing can kind of get blown up. Bailey was hurt for a little while just before the All-Star break. And, the prevailing wisdom is that he's kind of been a product of Tavares. But really, the thing what Tavares has done for him is give him the confidence to know that he can make these plays. And he's actually been pretty effective away from Tavares. And, when Bailey got hurt, we thought to ourselves, well, you still got Lee and Tavares up there. How bad could they be? Well, they were terrible the entire time he was out. I mean, they had a sort of rotating cast of nobodies on the other side. But they really missed Bailey and his ability to kind of get the puck and hang on to it for a while and find them getting open, especially Lee. I don't know what happened. He just did not look that good. But eventually came back and they went back to work. And then with Barzal, he and Eberle have been just magic together. There's something, they just kind of know where the other guy is going to be, and they're able, Eberle is smart enough to just get open and let Barzal find him. And then they had Andrew Ladd on the other side. He was good with them for a while. He got hurt. Anthony Beauvillier played on that side, and he was even better because he's got a kind of speed and energy that Ladd correctly doesn't. And so they all kind of work together. And, you know, Tavares is Tavares. Like, he's just going to find people and be himself. And he's on pace for a career year for him, which is pretty remarkable, too. So, you know, I wouldn't say that he is specifically the reason those guys are all doing that thing, but they all kind of work as a unit. Now, what's going on in their bottom six is the complete opposite. It's a total disaster. And I was joking on Twitter before that, you know, it's not a surprise that they scored 4 power play goals with their top power play units on the ice and the guys who make up the bottom six, with the exception of Nelson, being on the bench for 5 minutes, you know, and all of a sudden they put up 4 goals in the blink of an eye. That's not a coincidence. That is kind of how they've gone, and it's just how it is. It's going to be how it is, because I don't think any help is coming at the trade deadline, and I don't think anybody's coming up from Bridgeport that's going to change anything. So this is how it is. Six really good guys. 6 guys that, frankly, are not that good, and that's just how they are.
Well, you mentioned 6 really good guys, and you actually played with one of your formerly really good guys last night. Franz Nielsen has been, you know, let's just say, less than great for the Detroit Red Wings. And that's, you know, I think that kind of led Derek and I to that thought of, you know, what is the actual Tavares factor when you look at, you know, Nielsen was traditionally playing on that second line and you know, not drawing top pair. And now that he's being asked to do a little bit more in Detroit, it's just not going well. And, you know, one of the guys we have coveted, you know, for years, and don't tell anybody this, is Anders Lee. So you look at that, and you mentioned that John Tavares is having a career season. What is the temperature on the island or in the bark or wherever you guys are going to play tonight for the amount of just uncertainty that is revolving around the future of this franchise and what it's going to take to keep 91 on the island?
It kind of varies. I mean, I wake up every day with a different thought of he's going to stay or he's going to go. Like, something will happen. Every time they lose, I'm like, he's not going to stay. He's going to have to go, and he's going to want to go. And then they win, and I'm like, why would he leave this? This is his friends. This is his people. You know, this is his home right now. I've been keeping at Lighthouse Hockey ongoing John Tavares free agency encyclopedia. That's onto volume 2. Volume 1 was all of last year, because, I mean, this whole thing started already a year before he was even a free agent. And that one was like 25,000 words long. And then the new one is up to about 19,000 words already. And we still have to get to July 1st. And it's just, you know, his name pops up in a lot of stories, and insiders are always talking about what's going on and you know, what's the latest. But really, he's been very consistent. He wants to wait until the end of the season. He's going to take everything into consideration, all of his game day and all of his, you know, life factors, and then he'll make his decision. And he loves the island. He wants to stay. He's always had nothing but good things to say about playing for the Islanders and how they take care of them and, you know, being a top-notch organization and blah, 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 all that stuff. But he wants to win. You know, when you see a team that can't win games unless they score 7 goals, you wonder, geez, how much could they actually win? But getting back to Barzal, you know, where's he going to find a guy who's like Matthew Barzal, like this 20-year-old guy that clearly wants to win as much as he does and has these skills that make the team, you know, one of the best offensive teams in the league? So, you know, there are people convinced he's going to go. There are people convinced, it's just a matter of time before he signs. Don't worry about it. I'm kind of, you know, again, I change my thoughts every single day, and I don't know. And he's the only one who knows what he knows, and he's been very consistent, very short, you know, very tight-lipped about it. And, you know, that just lets everybody's imagination run wild. And we can't really do anything about it until he finally signs, which probably won't be until the season is over. Whether that's in the playoffs or out of the playoffs, that's all we can really do. So we just have to just enjoy his time and hope it continues for the next, you know, 8+ years. Oh, they also have Belmont Arena agreement. You know, they can start building there, which is also another huge thing. And believe it or not, playing at the Coliseum for a bunch of games, which it sounds asinine to literally everybody else, is apparently a huge thing for the players. They love it. They want to play. They live closer to NASA Coliseum than they do Barclays Center. And Tavares had a huge smile on his face at that announcement. He couldn't wait, you know. And Arthur Staple, formerly of Newsday, now of The Athletic, was like, I'm surprised that the owner didn't announce they were going to play 41 games there when they saw the look on his face and how excited he was to play back there. So, you know, all this stuff comes into consideration, but the only person who knows what he knows is Tavares. And quite frankly, I think when he says he's focused on playing and getting this team into the playoffs, I believe him. And then he'll think it over when he gets the time.
Hell, maybe he'll play a full season of lacrosse next year. One guy that we're pretty sure is going to be on the island next year is Andrew Ladd, because I think he's signed there until 2076 or so.
It's something like that.
Because we know him from his short time in Carolina. Mm-hmm. How's Andrew Ladd doing for you guys? I mean, the numbers aren't jumping off the page, but his never have for the most part. But he's you know, that big body, leadership, and all those wonderful intangibles that hockey people love to talk about. But how is Andrew Ladd doing for you?
That's a hard one, because you're right. Like, everything you just said is 100% correct. His numbers aren't really that great. He's just a very consistent 20-goal scorer for a long time. And last year, he had before Christmas or before Thanksgiving maybe, he had, like, one or two goals. And it was like, what the hell? But he ended up with 20 goals. It was like, I don't know how that happened, but he just really caught fire at the end of the season. He's also had a lot of back issues, and he's missed some time. And that was, again, getting back to last year, like, that was the big thing, was once he had the fire check Capuano, they put Ladd on IR for a week or so, his back got better, and he came back, and he looked like a different player. So he's definitely very effective. He can kill penalties. He is on the slower side, and he's on the older side. The leadership thing is kind of funny, too, because, you know, this is a team that clearly is dying out for somebody to kind of take the reins and be that guy. Tavares is a very quiet leader. He's always focused on you know, leading by example. Well, unless somebody takes that example, you're not, you know, it's not really going to help too much. And I think they signed Ladd with the idea that this guy's been on Stanley Cup champion. He's been a captain for a long time. He's the kind of leader that we need. And whether or not that's happening, I don't know. It doesn't really show all that much. But he's a likable guy, loves to fish. The players seem to like him. And, you know, he can be effective, but for the money they're shelling out for him, you know, that's not going to be a great contract. It wasn't a great contract when they signed it. It's not really a great contract now, and it will never be a great contract, but it is what it is. We're stuck with him for a long time, and I don't think they're going to buy him out or anything. And, again, he's not a bad player. He's just not really worth the money.
Well, Dan, let's take a look at the Metro standings real quick. We've got a tilt here coming up against the Isle this week. The crazy thing is second place and last place in the Metropolitan Division is separated by a grand total of 6 points with less than 30 games left to play. The division of death has never been more difficult. So I ask you, what are going to be, from an Islanders perspective, what are your keys for winning the critical matchup against Carolina this week? And do you think the Isle, as currently constructed, has what it takes to snag one of those 5 playoff spots that are going to come out of the Metro?
Well, take the second part first. They definitely have the offense to get one of those those Metro spots. You know, as for the defense and the goaltending and the coaching, well, I don't know about that. But they can definitely score with anybody in the league. So, I mean, hopefully that would be enough to carry them into a playoff spot.
Scoring wins championships. Oh, wait, that's not what they
Yeah. this is a huge week for them outside of just the game against the Hurricanes. They also play they play Calgary tomorrow, who's in, I guess, on the tail end or in the middle of a long road trip for them. Then they play Columbus on Tuesday, and then the Rangers Thursday, and then the Hurricanes Friday. So that's 3 division opponents in a row. And, you know, that's a huge, huge swing right there. And, you know, like you said, I mean, for all the you know, the fury that the Islanders kind of bring up because they're always on the playoff bubble, they're 5 points out of second place in the division. And it's kind of crazy to think of all the problems they've had. They're 5 points out of second place. And that's just crazy. And, I mean, could they grab it? I don't know. It's a pretty remote chance that they could actually do it. But that's the reality. And then, like you said, it's the division of death. Like, yeah. You know.
Islanders currently 1 point out of last.
Yeah, right. So
it's crazy.
So it's, you know, it's just insane. And like, I'm, you know, I'm following what you guys are doing. I'm following what the Devils are doing. You know, the Caps seem at this point to have things under control. And I mean, I'm sure I would bet money that the Penguins are going to end up in second place. It just kind of feels like that's about right. You know, the Rangers, their GM was like, well, you know, we're going to start going young now, but that doesn't mean I don't expect them to come out and try and beat the Islanders on Thursday. So, and of course the Islanders play terribly in Carolina. So I would expect that one to be a loss too, but you never know. I mean, I expected the Islanders to beat up on Buffalo 2 nights ago, and they just never looked like they were actually invested in the game. So I don't know. It's just going to ride out to the end. The thing that worries me the most is the Islanders seem to have played one more game than everybody else. So I have this like nightmare vision of them having the points on the last day, and then, you know, somebody plays late at night and wins, and they miss the playoffs by a point again because they just, you know, they started one game too late, essentially.
They
ran out of road.
We know that feeling here in Carolina all too well. All too well, Dan. Nine seasons in running. Well, folks, if you want to keep up on everything that's going on the island, definitely check out Lighthouse Hockey for everything that's going on with the Long Islanders. Dan, he is at Culture of Losing over on the Twitters. But, Dan, you were telling us a little bit before we jumped on the air, new podcast you guys are doing?
Yeah, well, we've had it for a while. It's called Islanders Anxiety, and it's my friend Mike and I, and I mean, we do have a lot of anxiety about the Islanders, but it's also just us kind of just casually talking about old Islanders and bad contracts and losses that they've suffered. And it's just a fun time. We try to keep things light and just have a good time. And
Real quick, random Islander.
So yeah, check it out.
Real quick, random
Islander. Random Islander. Well, Mikhail Grabowski was at the game last night.
Random Islander, Mikhail Grabowski. We love it.
And Milan Yurchina was at the game the other day, too. So
we love it. Dan, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your Saturday to join us. Congratulations on getting out of Barclays Center, getting your new arena, finally getting back where you guys actually belong. And my apologies for on July 1st when John Tavares signs in Toronto, because we all know. Everybody wants to sign in Toronto. Dan, he is Culture of Losing. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
No problem. Anytime, guys. Take care.
Hey, I love Dan Saraceni.
He might be better than his Twitter handle is.
Yeah.
And that's a high bar, because when you and I first saw it, we're like, that's a beautiful Twitter handle.
At Culture of Losing. Dan really gets his stuff. And exciting times to be an Islander fan. You know, it's right on the cusp. You know, you're worried as hell about what is going to happen with Tavares, but then you've got that beautiful new arena that's going to be back out on the island, back where the Islanders belong. So really happy for those guys. Really sad that they're going to lose John Tavares to us later. We didn't want to say that while Dan was on, but I mean, you and I both know what's happening. That's why we cleared out all of that cap room space with the Kruger move. So that way we have over $16 million in cap space next season to sign John Tavares.
Good God.
Yes. Oh my God, it feels so good. So yeah, Derek, let's talk a little bit about what you need to see out of the call-ups that are going to be happening. I know we mentioned this before we went to the interview. Who do you think's coming up, and what do you need to see out of those call-ups? And maybe let me ask you that, then we'll follow up. Try not to stack up stuff. That's a horrible interview thing.
Okay, so who do I think is going to be called up, and what do I need to see from them?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I think
I reserve the right to have a follow-up.
Okay, I think it's going to be Zikov, and I think it's going to be Fogle.
Okay,
McLovin? I think McLovin, I don't know that he'll get the time. I think what they're going to do is try to put Zikov in a top 9, if not top 6 role, because they've talked about that publicly. They don't want to bring somebody up and just give them 6 minutes a game, because that's how you boychuck somebody, and that's what's always been a complaint. If you're going to bring somebody up to have a scoring touch, you need to put them in a position to succeed. And that's what I really, really want to see.
Yeah, I agree with you on Zikov. I'm wondering, you know, do you bring up somebody like Nicolas Roy potentially to play that fourth line center role? Because, again, Fogle, I think, is so important to what is going on in Charlotte and developing that culture of winning. Do you maybe take a chance on a guy like Roy? You know, the lost guy in all of this is the GOAT. You know, how many, and we knew it was going
to
take some time
for
Gauthier, but I think, you know, maybe this season and next, I'm not going to start to worry about the GOAT until after next season is complete. And he has two full seasons in the A to really kind of develop his game. Because, again, the Q, not a great place to develop defensive acumen.
Not at all.
Also playing against a lot smaller players. We could talk through this like forever, Derek, mm-hmm. but you know, we might have a guest who probably knows this better than we do.
Then let's hear from him.
Derek, first time, long time on the guest line. You may know him by one of his, 9,000 different social media accounts.
It's only 17.
That's how the teens live these days. I mean, I don't know how they do it, but that's how they do it. He is at Canes Prospects. He is one of the writers over at CBTS, Matt. Young Matt. Welcome. First time on Cheaters Never Win, sir. Don't screw it up.
Oh, thanks. No pressure, right?
No pressure. CBTS, for those who may not know, that is Calm Before the Storm. That is one of the other Canes blogs out there that's run by Matt and a group of good friends of ours. And Matt also this year took over the reins of Canes Prospects from our very own Pat Clark. So, Matt, first question, greatest current Canes prospect who can come in here during the last 28 games of the season, save our season, win the Stanley Cup, no pressure, go.
Warren Fogle.
Hey, McLovin.
Yeah, I mean, just because McLovin, and then he's the guy, he can play at any, in any situation. You put him at 5-on-5, you get him shorthanded, and even he gets some power play time, he'll find a way to score or even, you know, factor in on a play. It doesn't matter what.
Okay, guys that aren't going to be here and doing all the heroic things that Mike talked about.
Sergei Tolchinsky.
Yeah, things. I'm not going to ask him about things that'll never be good with the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
So, Matt, we've got a lot of young guys that have a lot of promise that we're still having stock in, like Jake Bean, the GOAT, Zikov, a lot of guys. If you had to say, like, rank a top three for us, where would you go with these guys?
I'd have to go with. We talking about guys in Charlotte too?
We're talking about all of the guys. You're Canes prospects. Come on. So,
let's go with, I'd say definitely Jake Bean, number one.
Ooh, so you're going because, Ryan Murphy Light as our number one current prospect.
Well, except in this situation, they've actually told Jake Bean to play defense.
Oh.
I've heard that helps when you're a defenseman.
Yes.
Yeah, because that was Bean's biggest issue when he came here is that he was – okay in the defensive zone, but to be an NHL defenseman, you kind of have to be good. That's, you know, hockey analysis right there. But he's improved that a lot, and everybody's probably wondering why his numbers have dropped down, but that's just because that's what Francis wants him to do. He doesn't want him to just skate into the zone coast to coast like Murphy used to do and just fire a wrist shot top shelf. He wants Bean to actually analyze the play, look for a passing option, and then make sure he gets back on defense. And I think Bean's taken a lot of good strides here. And I know, Mike, you were complaining about how he looks slow in camp this summer over prospects camp. He only got beat in the game or in the practice that I went to. He only got beat by Max Zimmer, and Zimmer is one of the fastest prospects we have. So I think Bean has got the highest ceiling of any of our prospects. It'll just be a matter of when he gets to crack the lineup.
So Jake Bean,
Jake Bean is
greater than Party Nachos.
Okay. Nachos is definitely first.
Oh God!
I almost forgot that he was a prospect anymore, just because he's NHL debut this season. He had a great World Juniors. I kind of just think that Nechas is going to be a 1B type center for us. I don't think he'll ever be like a franchise-altering center. I don't think that's what we drafted him to be as, but I've never seen somebody so smart and so dangerous in the offensive zone in any capacity.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, that we've drafted, it's been a while since I've seen a prospect that's this good right after we drafted him.
And I don't keep up with it the way you do, but I've seen he's putting up some good numbers in the Czech men's league, and usually that's not a league you associate with high scoring, right?
No, it's a very defense-heavy league. he's playing on a really good team on a line with, I believe, another draft prospect this year and another player whose name I can't pronounce. But he's putting up really good numbers, and it's typically multi-point games. He had 2 goals a couple weeks ago, including an overtime winner. And I think the goal in the last 3 seconds to send it to overtime in one game. So he's got a habit of scoring quick clutch goals, and he does it in bunches, which is really good for us.
I'm just so taken aback because I remember when we drafted Party Nachos, we're all going, huh? Who? And then we hear the things from the front office that talk about how much of a pain he is to play against, and we're going, okay, that sounds nice, but is he the guy you want at 12? And then we saw, like you're talking about, his creativity. He's a slick and fast skater, too, and then he's putting up points against grown men in a defense-first league, and we're going, okay, yeah. this could be something. But, Matt, I know it's tough to project still, but we've gotten enamored with these prospects the way all fans do with the future. You always want to look at the future, whether you're fans of college sports or pro sports.
Yeah.
How tough is it to take these guys and go, here's what we think they actually will be, not what we hope they'll be?
It's actually really tough because, I mean, you look at a bunch of prospects that haven't worked out for teams in the past, and when they were drafted, they were expected to be, you know, a top four defenseman. Ryan Murphy, Igor Knyazev, or however you pronounce it. Yeah, and then you get Zach Boychuk, who was supposed to be, you know, a top-line sniper, and that never worked out.
Zach Dalpe.
And then,
we could do this for hours, by the way.
Yeah. And then you get a guy in the fourth round like Slavin, who, you know, might have some NHL potential, but he wasn't even ranked by the draft boards. And all of a sudden, you know, he's the top pairing shutdown defenseman on the Hurricanes. So it's really tough. And I'm sure there are people smarter than I that would say that it's actually really easy to project a certain player's growth. But it's really hard for me to see because, I mean, I see Nechas playing and killing it in the Czech leagues, but we don't know if that'll translate to the NHL yet because he got 7 minutes in an NHL game this year against Edmonton. So it's pretty hard, but I'd have to say that he's probably the player that most of his talent will translate to the NHL right away.
So we've got a couple of empty roster spots. Josh Joris and Martin, Marcus Kruger, Martin Kruger. Kruger.
Not going to work here anymore.
Yeah, whatever. both of those guys have been sent down to Charlotte, and it seems like this front office has been pretty content to keep this Charlotte team together, not only because they need to establish kind of a culture of winning and be able to have some of these guys feel what it feels like to win, but also that we don't want to bring up a guy like Zikov and put him in a position where he's only playing 5 or 6 minutes a night. So what do you think, after we get through tonight's game against the Avalanche, what do you think would be the best move for Ron Francis to make? Do we keep this, do we keep it at 21 players and just keep it as is, or do we bring up one of the guys and maybe shake up the lineup a little bit to see what we've got, not only for the playoff push, but potentially what we've got for some of these guys if we don't make the playoffs and have a bigger shakeup next season?
I think if you're going to call up a player, you have to put him in the right role. You can't put a guy like Zikov on the fourth line with Joakim Nordstrom and Derek Ryan and expect him to do well. I don't think you're really setting him up for success there.
So where do you put him?
I would put him in Phil DiGiuseppe's spot where he was last night with Skinner and Lindholm. Because
I like that line.
Yeah, right? Because Zikov's on the right side, and he's one of the only the prospects on the right side that we have that's ready. Gauthier's not going to be ready for the NHL yet. Podorowski's been playing on the right side in Charlotte, I think, but I don't think he's got much NHL talent. The roster as it stands right now, I don't think will be good enough to make any threat in the playoffs, so I think we do need to call a guy up. But I think Zikov, at best, is a third-line player for the team as it stands right now. So if you put him on a line with Skinner and just park him in front of the net, goals will start coming for Skinner, and then he'll be able to chip in a garbage goal here and there. and I think that line will really improve.
I love a good garbage goal. Mike, you?
Oh, I love it when you put somebody in front of the net. Sorry.
Matt, we've been talking a lot of prospects with you, and that's one of the things you do. You also do a whole bunch of writing over at Call Before the Storm. They're on Twitter at CBTS97. But, you know, the pinned tweet on that profile still talks about, it was from like a month or so ago, that January of 2017, you guys launched this blog. So what made you start, you and your blogging partners there, what made you guys start this blog? And what can Canes fans who are looking for more stuff to read about their favorite team get and expect from you guys over at Calm Before the Storm?
So Calm Before the Storm started, a bunch of us had written for another blog that was really awful, actually. None of our stuff got published that we wrote, or if we wrote an article, it would sometimes just hang in blog purgatory for a week before finally getting published. And then on the night of the Detroit game where the ice melted and half of the fan base had a meltdown, so did the person that we wrote for, and he became just a troll account on Twitter. And so we just decided, you know what, this isn't who we are. These aren't, you know, we don't want to be associated with him. So we kind of broke off, did our own thing for a while. I had my WordPress site that I let Jonathan Wagner, another CBTS writer, write for a little bit. And then we just decided, you know what, we're going to create our own blog, and it's just going to be focused on optimism. So that's where Calm Before the Storm came in, because we always like to be the calm voice of Canes Twitter.
Love it.
And so Dylan over at Overly Optimistic Cane decided, you know what, hey, I'm a developer, I'll just make the site. And a couple weeks later, after the holidays, we launched the blog, and we've had a lot of success since then, and even though we've had a a site meltdown where we lost all of our stuff.
Oh, you are associated with the Carolina Hurricanes. There will be plenty of meltdowns. Lots of stuff will happen. You know, Matt, we really appreciate the work that you guys do. And, you know, we've tried to, you know, take it amongst ourselves to be the voice that you want to be, not the voices that the fans necessarily want to hear, but be the voice that you want to be. So we appreciate the optimism. We appreciate what you guys are doing over there. We appreciate you guys doing such great work with Canes prospects, and we appreciate you guys taking some time. I mean, basically, Derek, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. Calm Before the Storm is the Tiger Beat of Carolina Hurricanes blogdom.
It is, even though we may have had to explain that to Matt yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, Matt's like, what's Tiger Beat? So Matt, last question. If you had to take all of the writers of Calm Before the Storm and make them a boy band member, who is each member of Calm Before the Storm in a boy band? You don't have to you. We will gloss you with a boy band, but give us the other guys. Give us Overly Optimistic and give us Wagner. Give us those guys.
All right, so I'd have to say that JT, although it's not a boy band, I think JT would have to be Bieber, because he's just got the longest hair out of any of us, and so I just, you know, every time I see JT, I'm like, you know what, he'd probably be that kind of guy.
So he's Bieber classic, not current tatted up Bieber.
Yeah, I think I'd have to say
Tiger
Dylan
Bieber, Derek.
Okay,
yeah.
I'd have to say that Dylan, Overly Optimistic Kane, would be Justin Timberlake, because he's a lot older than the rest of us. And so when NSYNC was a band, I think Dylan was probably a teenager. So it seems about periodically accurate. I'm sure he's going to kill me when I say that. But Jonathan, oh, man. I don't know. Jonathan's like super innocent. I really don't know what he would be.
Oh, super innocent. That makes him the youngest Hanson. Right.
Okay. Yeah. That would
he's kind of like the youngest Hanson brother.
And then I think, I don't know. We have Neha and Savannah over there as well. So I don't know if you would want me to do a boy band for them, because we added them about a month ago.
Excellent. More voices is great. If you're going to put them in Tiger Beat though, who are they?
I'd have to say, I don't know. I really don't know.
That's okay. I mean, I think
they've been around a month. You got to get to know them better before you can just randomly. You don't just randomly assign a boy band or a teeny bopper persona to somebody. That's something that has to develop over time.
Absolutely. Since I've known these guys for a while, I can safely assume their boy band alter egos.
I mean, I think as I'm sitting here, and for this is an audio only podcast, but we have you on Skype, so we get to sit here and look at you, and you've been flipping your hair a lot during the podcast, and you're really kind of, I think he's Jessica Simpson's husband from 98 Degrees, Nick.
Okay.
I mean, because we've met your significant other, you've well out kicked your coverage, much like Nick did, I think you have a reality show in your future, Matt.
All right, that's awesome. I'll keep that in mind for future career plans.
There you go. Coming to you on a YouTube channel soon, Nick Soma, out there doing...
So he's going to legally change his name to Nick? He's taking it that seriously?
I think so.
My brother's name.
We love it, guys. This is just spiraled out of control, but that's what happens when you start flipping through the pages of Tiger Beat. Things just go downhill from there.
Let's put this magazine down, Mike.
At CBTS97 over on the Twitters. He is at Canes Prospects. He is at Matt Soma.
Or at Canes Netfront.
At Canes Netfront. He's so many places and things. I'm sure he's on the Snapchats and the Insta Weirds and
whatever these damn millennials do.
Yeah, whatever these damn millennials are killing this podcast. Matt, thank you for getting up before noon on a Saturday, sir. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Derek, we've always said more people talking Canes hockey is good. We've got new Canes podcasts that are out there between Canes Cast. The CBTS boys are thinking about doing some stuff.
There's the Redvolution Rampage that just put their first episode out last week, I believe. So, hell yes. Yeah. More people talking Canes is better for all Canes fans.
Yep. So that way there's different voices. If we're not your cup of tea, and we're not everybody's cup of tea, there's other folks that are out there. Please don't stop listening to us. We need your support.
Just continue to download the podcast. Don't listen. That's fine.
No, listen.
Oh, okay.
Listen.
I'm just saying if we're not their cup of tea, like, don't go away completely. Download the podcast.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a good alternate alternative. But you know what? We do need you to continue to do though, even if you download and don't listen this week. We need you to still send in your cheat mail. Gotta go get some.
My God, cheat Mike, mail. Your snapping was spastic.
Oh yeah, I know.
It's all over. It was like freeform jazz.
I almost scatted.
Ooh,
this portion of the podcast brought to you by Squatty Potty.
Jesus, Mike. Let's get to the cheat mail real quick. This one from Michael Butler at ButlerMike43. Do you think last night was a turning point for this team and Scott Darling?
No. Because there's been a bunch of turning point games, and until I can see three or four games out of this team, I think Justin Williams said it best. You know, the team has been middling and mediocre at best.
Yeah, mired in mediocrity, I think.
Yeah, so you've got to find a way to string together 5, 6, 7 wins, 4 or 5 good starts, and whether that be Ward or Darling, stringing together some good starts. So let's see, last night was a start. Let's see how we play this week. You've got the Avs tonight. We've got the Isle coming to town. I believe the Kings are coming to town. That's going to be a big test. News flash, I know I've said this a bunch of times, and I can't wait to say it again. Mitch Marner is going to be traded for Drew Doughty. I'm just going to keep putting that on this podcast because it's going to happen.
What E is that at now?
That's E4.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
It's currently E4. Derek, let me go ahead and
not to be
drop...
confused with rapper E40. I can only imagine how sure of a thing that trade would have to be.
Wow. So Derek, let's go here to so many cheat mail questions this morning. Let's go to Albie Hood. You know, we got a couple of F Mary kills, and we love non people related F Mary kills.
Yes.
F Mary kill, Whalers jersey edition. Green jersey, blue jersey, white jersey.
Okay, this one's actually pretty easy for me.
There's only one answer. Let's see if you get it right.
Okay, killing the blue jersey.
Okay.
I am... I'm going to F the green jersey and marry the white one.
You're wrong.
All right.
You F the white one and you marry the green one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like the white one better.
I could, there's logistics of washing and stuff I could go into, but that's probably not where we're going on this podcast. Okay. So I'll leave. Derek looked at me and goes, Jesus, Mike, move on.
No, you're fine. This one from Luke Scholl, at Luke, not you. Dundon has emphasized game day value in addition to cheap food, tickets, and other stuff during breaks. We're good at making noise. What's our take on the atmosphere of PNC during a game?
I think when the team is good, PNC's atmosphere is top three in the league. Because the way the arena itself is shaped, with the amount of people that are in the lower bowl, it can get very loud and very raucous. Whereas a place like Toronto, for example, has so many upper bowl seats, and the upper bowl sits so much further back from the ice. Even if you are upstairs making a ton of noise, none of that makes it down to the ice. Little of ours makes it down to the ice, but when the building's packed, there's so many people downstairs, it can be a great atmosphere. Are there things that could improve? Absolutely. Are the new scoreboard and some of the changes that Tom Dundon is going to bring in continue to improve that? Absolutely. Cheap beer makes the arena much better. Young college kids, you know, I can't wait to see what Dundon does to drive additional college people to the arena, because young college folks who come bring that college atmosphere to the arena, I think, is what we need. You know, I've said this for years. We need a pep band. We need the drum line. Awesome. We need a pep band. I think that takes this arena level to the next level.
And it would be unique.
I think it's good. It could be great, though.
Also, I'm enjoying my Dundon meals at every game.
Oh, yes. Happy Dundon Day, by the way.
I'm like, happy Dundon Day.
Yeah, I forgot to
also,
say that to
you. Also, shout out to Abby's Army for the Happy Dundon Day sign at last night's game.
Yeah, so much fun. This one from our buddy Doug. He is at Buntard. Why does the team frequently win while I'm wearing an alternate jersey and then shit the pot when I celebrate by wearing a team jersey?
That's because the team knows.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like with every good superstition. Like let's say I've got my lucky socks. They know, they know.
I mean,
and they perform in response to what you're wearing.
Yeah, and as much as we kind of say that tongue in cheek, we had conversations yesterday mm-hmm. saying if the Canes lost to Vancouver tonight was going to be alternate jersey night, and we were going to all wear non-Canes jerseys. Since the team won, we get to continue to wear our Canes jerseys. But you know what tonight is, Derek?
What's that?
Tonight's Kazoo Night in Section 328.
I'm so mad that I'm not going to be there for it.
Kazoo Night in Section 328. So if you're up around Section 328 and you hear this weird kind of like humming sound, yep, it's Kazoo Night. You know who's really excited about Kazoo Night?
Who dat?
Everybody in press row. Yeah,
that's true. All right, let's see. I've got another F. Mary Kill here. This one's a good one from Michael Mosher. Sorry if I'm butchering your name.
This one closes out cheat mail, by the way. This is it. We can't go anywhere from
F. Mary Kill. Ron Francis's unwillingness to trade, Jeff Skinner's lack of scoring, Bill Peters' coaching style.
Ooh. Man, F. Mary Kill. And see, that's the thing. Normally, F. Mary Kill,
They're positives, but these are
negatives. Man, I am going to... I think I've got this. I am going to marry Ron Francis's unwillingness to trade.
Okay.
I am a big fan of Ron Francis, and while I think he is too conservative, I also know Ron Francis knows hockey more than I. So I am willing to trust the process and stick with him for the long term. So Ron Francis' unwillingness to trade, I will marry.
Okay.
I am going to kill Jeff Skinner's lack of scoring because, damn it, this team is better when Jeff Skinner scores. That needs to be killed immediately. Jeff Skinner needs to score a goal every single night. And if he doesn't, I'm basically blaming Doug Buntard because he wore the wrong jersey. which means that I have to F Bill. I have to F Bill Peters' coaching style. I could make all sorts of comments and they would all be inappropriate. So I'll just ask you, Derek, is that kind of the right answer?
That is actually the right answer, because here's the nice thing. After you get done effing Bill Peters' coaching style, you can cool off with a tall glass of Connecticut water.
Sweet, clear, delicious Connecticut water.
Who needs a cigarette when you've got smooth, delicious Connecticut water.
Derek, what are you rocking there in your glass that you picked up, I believe, from Bottle Mix over on Creedmoor Road yesterday?
I did. This is so good. I did not expect this beer to be this good. So, as Mike said, I went to Bottle Mix off Creedmoor Road, but you've been listening to this podcast. You know that Bottle Mix is on Creedmoor Road. What you might not know is where to follow them on the social medias, so you know all the goodness that they're bringing into the shop. So, on Instagram, on Twitter, they are at Bottle Mix. That is BOTTLEMIXX. The second X is for quality.
Ooh, I like that.
So, yeah, follow them. They put all their new stuff on Instagram, whether it's beer or wine. So, you always know why you need to go into the shop and pick some stuff up. I am assuming they have put a picture up of this beer recently. It is Epic Brewing's Son of a Baptist. Mike has spoken fondly of Epic Brewing's Big Bad Baptist.
It was delicious.
And that is this same beer, but that beer gets aged in bourbon barrels. This one does not. It is a coffee stout. I'm trying to see the ABV on here. It's 8%. Doesn't really taste like it. So what it says on the side of this can is that they have sought out creative and passionate coffee roasters from around the country to explore the innovative flavors of the coffee they roast. You can see on the bottom of this can which different coffee roaster they've used. So it's really cool. So each iteration of this Son of a Baptist is going to taste a little bit different based on the coffee they used. The one on this can, it says it's from Dynamite Roasters. I didn't do my research to look up where they're from, but I can tell you they must make a fine cup of joe because this makes for a fine glass of beer. It absolutely passes the patented now, Mike. I've filed a patent for you.
Thank you.
The Mike Flanagan does light pass through this beer test. It does not.
It is not quite motor oil, but it is definitely a cup of very good, like a good Americano with like an extra shot in, or maybe like a red eye that's got that, you get that little film on the top. It kind of what it reminds me of. It's beautiful.
Oh, there you go. Nicely done, sir.
You're welcome.
As soon as I poured this into the glass, like those coffee aromas jumped out at me. And what I really like on this beer is I just took a sip and it's so good. But let me get through this one step at a time. Sometimes on like the bigger version of this, the bourbon barrel aging or whatever kind of barrels they're aged in can have a little bit too strong of an influence. They make the beer taste a little boozy, a little too heavy. And while those are great, you don't always want that. Sometimes you just want like rich, a nice dry stout with some good roasty coffee. And this is exactly that beer. I mean, it's got the chocolatey notes. It's got the roasty malts of a great stout. And it has really, really good coffee flavors on it. If you like a good cup of black coffee and beer, yeah, do this. Or if you just like a good cup of black coffee and you haven't had a beer like this is a really, really good entry point without being too out there in any one direction. So swing by Bottle Mix. Dustin said they've got plenty of this. So go there. It'll have the little section 328 beer of the week sign on it. A 12-ounce can of this beer is only like a couple bucks, which
I like that.
It should be more than that. So I think this beer is a great value. I am going to go buy more of this. Mike said he might have to swing by and buy some more. So they might not have as much left as they would have if this beer weren't so damn good. So
yeah, I'm going to go by and pick up one before the Avalanche game tonight because Joe Sakic is in the building and I need to have a couple of beers or a couple of drinks in me because if I'm going to be that close to Joe Sakic, I need to kind of something to calm me down a little bit. Joe Sakic is Rashad Jesus. Yeah. Joe Sakic is the greatest hockey player of all time. Don't at me.
So on your way to the game tonight, if you're coming from North Raleigh, heading on down Creedmoor Road, about a mile south of 540. It's on the right-hand side of the road, behind the Wendy's, behind some other stuff. Bottle Mix back in there. Awesome beer selection. Pick up the Son of a Baptist. Fill out a six-pack with some other stuff. We don't care. Tell the guys we sent you and get some great beers.
Yeah, they are absolutely delicious. And if you're wondering, what else can I put in the six-pack? Just ask them. They'll ask you what your three or four favorite beers are, and they'll point you in the direction of some new cool stuff that maybe you haven't had before. So, I haven't had this beer before today, but I will have more later today. Mm-hmm. As we make our way over to the PNC Arena to watch the Carolina Hurricanes take on the Colorado Avalanche. And Nathan MacKinnon, stay, please.
Yeah.
Just stay.
Well, he's hurt.
Is he?
Yeah. Do you read Meg's Hurricane Watch?
We have great hospitals here in Raleigh.
Oh, we do. That's a good selling point.
Just stay. thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being supportive of us over on the Twitters at @section_328.
Respect the underscore.
Whether you buy stuff on Amazon and you click on the buy on Amazon button on section 328 first, that throws a couple of pennies our way, whether you support us on Patreon or whether you're just climbing the stairs and coming to say hi to us up on Row C, we really do appreciate it. There's a game tonight. We tried to keep this one short for you guys. I don't know if we accomplished that.
We may have failed. Who knows?
But we had a lot of fun doing it. Thanks as always for listening. Until next time, my name's Mike.
I go by the name of Derek.
And we're out of here.
Yeah.